Okay, good evening, everyone. Welcome. First of all, thank you very much to the JCC for hosting this evening. Special thank you also to the ATT for partnering with us, and thank you all for coming out on this. I guess it's not snowing, so it could be worse. So tonight, we get together to focus with a very special member of our Chicago Jewish community on a topic that is really very important for us to cultivate as people of faith, as people of commitment, and as thoughtful, growing Jews. And that is the topic of Emuna, which we'll explore as we go along. Before, I'm not going to try to translate that. We'll have to figure that out. Mm-hmm. But I am very honored, and on behalf of the YU Torah Mitzion Kollel, I want to express tremendous hakaras hatov to Rabbi Dr. Jerry Loeb, who is our special guest this evening, who has many qualifications to speak on this topic, in addition to being an experienced rav and someone who is a teacher and a mora derech for many, over many years. I'm not going to say how many. Some years.
Since before you were born.
We're not going to say how long that was. But also has another hat that he wears, and that is the hat of a clinician, as a clinical psychologist who has been practicing for many years and serving in these two capacities, working with students, community members, and also with clients. So he has counseled and advised and guided so many different men and women in this community and beyond. I remember that this year, Baruch Hashem, we're celebrating 10 years, and when I was in the post-Micha program, where I had this special classes, various classes they had, so I had a mentor who was a psychologist in New Jersey. So I told him that I was moving to Chicago. He said to me, you only need to know one name, and that is Jerry Loeb. That's what he said to me. So in addition to all of that, Dr. Loeb has a tremendous personal experience in the area of Emunah, and it's something that he and I have been, he's certainly one of my mentors here, he has been sharing with me and talking about and thinking about through his own life journey. So this is not so much of a formal presentation, although, he could certainly easily do that, but we wanted tonight to share more of a conversation about this important topic and to hear his thoughts as we navigate in our own lives, each of us, pathways in our connection to Hashem, to connection to godliness. So without any further ado, we'll begin maybe speaking a little bit. You want to talk a little bit about how to define what it is when we say Emunah. What does that mean?
Okay. First, let me just say that it's an honor to be here and be a part of this group. And it's really wonderful to see a lot of faces from the past. Not such distant past, but people that I've known for many years, and it's a real treat. It was really fun to see people that I haven't seen in a long time, and I'm really glad to see all of you here. There's only one cup of water on this thing, and we may end up in a fist fight. So if you want to avoid that, maybe another cup of water can be sent down from somewhere. Okay, don't all jump at one time. Okay, that's fine. You go first.
No. Rabbi Akiva says Chayecha Kovman.
Chayecha Kovman, all right. All right, go for it. Okay, what's Emunah? What is Emunah? What does the word actually mean? And what is the root of that word? Emunah comes from what word? What word do we use that sounds like Emunah? Amen, right? Amen. And when we say Amen, what are we saying? What?
Let it be.
Let it be. Is that Beatles song? Is it not?
I'm sorry, it's your generation.
Right.
We're in agreement.
What?
We're in agreement.
Amen means in agreement. Interesting.
Thank you.
So,
thank you.
What? It means thank you? That's interesting. What in that word amen means thank you? So Amen has in it an interesting word. Within the word Amen, it's only three letters, Aleph, Mem, Nun. But yet, Aleph, Mem means mommy. Right? Aim. Oh.
Now we're good. L'chaim, l'chaim.
I think you have more than me.
Oh, good.
Amen. Okay. So.
Sorry. This was not expected.
What is that? What is that? I think most of the people in the room would rather you just do that.
How is the volume in here? Can you guys hear them speaking? Okay, everyone in the back, so.
Right. Oh, should we stand each time when we speak?
I don't know. I think I'm setting up a mic.
I'm setting up a mic. Okay.
Okay.
Continue. Yeah. Can we start? Okay. So I'm going to start and talk a little bit about what the word emunah means and what it's all about. The Nesiva Shalom. How many of you are familiar with the beautiful, beautiful Torah of the Nesiva Shalom? Okay. Ira. So. We learned in a class in the morning that actually is from the Nesiva Shalom. Nesiva Shalom was a Hasidic rabbi. His name is Shalom Noach, or was. He's not alive anymore. But Shalom Noach Brzezowski. And his Torah is beautiful. It's just beautiful. So he writes pages and pages and pages about Amunah. What is Amunah? Why is it so important? And what it can do for us. And he said that the foundation of everything in Yiddishkeit and Judaism, the foundation of anything Jewish, is first and foremost the Aleph of is Emunah. Without Emunah, we are not connected to God in the same way. Emunah is about a connection to Hashem. It's about making Hashem real in our lives. Emunah is not just believing in God, it's believing in Hashem, that Hashem is real. That God will care, that God cares for each and every one of us. There's a line from Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, who was the great leader of the Jewish people for many, 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 many years, in which he said that God loves every single Jew infinitely. A very powerful line from Moshe Feinstein, who was the Gadol HaDor, who was the leader of the generation for many years. For many, many years. He talks about that it's an automatic thing that when, that if you are Jewish, you know, do you remember those pins, Kiss Me, I'm Jewish? I switched it for Irish, but, but yeah, just believing in God itself is a huge mitzvah, and trusting, but it's not just about believing in the existence of God. It's about trusting God. Making God making a relationship with God. Making Hashem a real entity in your life. Hashem needs to be our best friend. Hashem holds hands with each of us. It's trusting God fully, relying on Him completely, to know me and understand me, to realize that He gets me, that Hashem gets me. He understands me more than I understand myself. He knows exactly what I need from the beginning of my life, when I was a newborn baby, till the end of my life. Every moment is guided by Hashem. That's Emunah. Emunah is that I never lose sight of Hashem. I never lose sight of Hashem, that Hashem is real. And if I'm going through something really hard, if I'm going through something painful, many of you know that I've been going through something difficult in the last few months. And to know that from day one when this thing started, I never felt the absence of God's presence in my life. Hashem is real. Hashem is my best friend. I hold hands with Hashem on an ongoing basis. And when I dive into Hashem, you know, I dive in that He should hold me, that He should carry me. that he should take care of really every Jew in Klal Yisrael, to love me unconditionally. Hashem is my father, Hashem is my mother, Hashem is Tati, Hashem is Mommy. To really understand that and to take it in. I am his child. We talk about unconditional love. It's a very important thing in life, unconditional love, to love our children unconditionally. It's a very big piece to love our spouse unconditionally until we get annoyed at them. not Yala. No way. Perfect angel. My father, my mother, my child.
King.
What?
My king.
My king, right. God is king as well. Okay, a moment to take a moment to tell you a little bit about my history. Both of my parents were Holocaust survivors. My father was in Auschwitz for a number of years, and he saw horrific things there. Horrific things there. And my mother was a little girl in Budapest during the Holocaust, and she was in the ghetto of Budapest. And she lived a traumatic life in those years because her job was to sneak out under the barbed wire fence in the ghetto, under the eyes, you know, of the German soldiers. And her job was to knock on the houses of the non-Jews and ask us for a little bit of food. It was tremendously humiliating for her because these were girls that she knew from school who would slam the door in her face. It was very, very traumatic for her. It was scary. She thought if the Nazis would have discovered her, they would have killed her. She was a little girl. She was probably 6 or 7 or 8. Eight of the oldest. So I grew up, it's in my blood. My father's favorite expression, I knew my father was in Auschwitz. And yet, his line that he would say over and over again is, in the Himmel is a Vater. In the heavens, there's a daddy. In the heavens, there's a daddy. Hashem is real. Amunah. Okay, Rabbi Brand wrote a number of questions to me, so I'm going to try to address the questions that Rabbi Brand had asked me to think about. How has Emunah helped you deal with challenges in your life? And I kind of touched on that already, but knowing that I'm not alone, that Hashem is holding me, that He's holding my hand, that He will love me eternally. And that's true for every one of you in this room, and it's true for every member of Klal Yisrael.
So when you think about Emunah, it's more than about a feeling than it is about a cognitive understanding or an awareness. Is that an accurate way of looking at it?
So I don't know how to relate to God in a cognitive way. The only way I could relate to Him is in a mushy way. I don't know what to say about that. It's not logical. It's beyond logic. It's above logic. There's something there. It's something esoteric. It's not tangible. It doesn't feel tangible. On the other hand, if we make it a mashal, so to speak, that God is that Hashem is connected to us in a way, then it's perhaps easier. It's easier. One of the beautiful prayers that we say, that men say every morning when they put on their tefillin, that most Jewish men put on when they put on their tefillin in the morning, is that we wrap straps around our arms, 7 straps, and then we put some straps around certain fingers. Same straps on the tefillin straps. And then we say a beautiful tefillah. V'yirastech li le'olam. I'll read the whole thing in Hebrew and then translate. V'yirastech li le'olam. V'yirastech li... I'm sorry. V'tzedek u'v'mishpat u'v'chesed u'v'rachamim. Do I need it?
No, you're talking, yeah.
Are you able to hear me? Have you been able to hear me?
Very good.
Very good?
Yeah.
You win the door prize. Here. So, yes. Okay. So, ow, nasty. Okay, what? Okay, I didn't say you're nasty. Okay. All right. Verastikli laolam, verastikli b'tzedek u'b'mishpat. You don't like it. It's my Hungarian accent, is it not? Where are you from, ma'am?
Romania.
My father was from Romania. How long ago? How long ago was you?
Since I was a child.
So, what, 5 years ago? 10. Okay. So, Irasikli Loam, Irasikli B'tzedek, Mishbad, Ubechesed, Verachamim, Irasikli B'Amuna, V'Yadat, I'm sorry, Es Hashem. Elohim, Es Hashem, and the Yukei Vavkei, name of God. Okay. So, ooh, man. Okay, Rastichli Leolam, I'm gonna try to project. Rastichli Leolam means we say as we put the tefillin, men as they put the tefillin around their hands, and it's not a coincidence that one of them will be on your finger and it looks like a ring. If you stop and look, if you're a little bit creative, understand that what you're seeing is the engagement or the marriage of Hashem with each and every one of us. Ve'rastich li lolam, and Hashem says to us, to the Jewish people, you will be betrothed to me forever, and you will be betrothed with me with the following qualities: tzedek amishpat, which is righteousness, and law, and what else? Chesed and rachamim, and kindness, and mercy. And that's how you get close to me, is what Hashem is saying to each of us. You get close to me by living this kind of life, a life of connection and love to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to God. All right, so how has Emunah helped you deal with the challenges in life? I know I'm not alone. I know Hashem is holding my hand. I know that Hashem is holding me, and that He's loving me, as I said. How have patients you've treated used the Muda in their life journey? Probably similarly to the way I've used it. You know, the patients that I've worked with over the years, I would push the idea of Emunah for those that are up to that, that feel it that way, that are spiritual in nature. Not everybody is that way. It doesn't always work for everybody. But the idea of Emunah is kind of a universal idea of trust. You know, I have Emunah in Hashem, but I also have Emunah in my friends. I have Emunah in my wife. I have Emunah in my children. I have faith in my kids. You know, to use the power of Emunah not just in my relationship with Hashem, but my relationship with every single person I know. To have Emunah. You know, Emunah is, you know, I trust you. Any relationship has to have a trust factor. If there's no trust, there's no relationship.
So maybe that's maybe that relates to something you were saying earlier about the idea of emuna coming from the word omein and aim, that a person's relationship with their mother is not an intellectual one that's predicated on how many carpools
excellent
or how many sandwiches that were made, but it's more of a feeling, and a feeling especially of dependency, and a feeling of, you know, trust and reliance,
right,
rather than, you know, a cognitive
how many mitzvahs did you do today,
right,
like that. No, right. Okay, good. Anyone else? Anyone want to say something or ask something? Or why don't you take over?
I think it's interesting what Dr. Loeb was describing about the idea of something that you can't cognitively grasp in your hand. I saw a very similar description in a very different time. You know that in the Warsaw Ghetto there was a great Hasidic master. His name was Rav Klonimus Kalman Shapira. He was the author of a remarkable work beforehand called the Chovas HaTalmidim. And then in the ghetto he gave sermons, he gave drushas to the people, which are mind-boggling descriptions of Torahs at that time. It's a contemporaneously written work, which is very rare. And in two places in the ghetto, he talks about emuna, and in one particularly striking passage in Hanukkah in December of 1941, when things were not, they were not good, and they felt the acute suffering of that time, he talks about how emuna is beyond the seichel. It's really about that thing which is beyond. So where does he say you find it? He says you find it in an innate spark within. That's where he says inside. That a person will find emuna. It's recognizing, it's seeing that spark of Hashem within the person, and to think that he's describing that at that time in that place is really something
magnificent.
Amazing. It's and amazing. It fits with the idea that the feeling of emuna is really what drives it, not so much, you know, you can go to a seminar and maybe you can prove that the Ribbono Shel Olam exists, maybe you can't, but the notion that it's about that feeling and recognizing it within. Because the Gemara says, I wonder if that's connected to the Gemara in the end of Maseches Makos, where the Gemara says there are a lot of commandments. You know, you can count up 613 commandments. And the Gemara says, well, it's a little long. Maybe we could truncate it a little bit. The Gemara says, fine. They truncated it to 11, and then 7, and then 3. And then the Gemara concludes, you can boil it all down to 1. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Chavakuk where it says, V'tzadik be'emunaso yichya. So it all comes back to emuna. And Rav Soloveitchik, Rabbi Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik, says he learned from his mother, which was not surprising, because if it's about emuna, he learned it from his mother. He learned from his mother the most important thing in life. So coming from Rav Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik, that's a pretty significant statement. If the Rav said this is the most important thing in life, so he said, I learned from my mother the most important thing in life, which is, he said, to feel the presence of the Almighty and the gentle pressure of His hand resting upon my frail shoulder.
Beautiful.
That's what he says, the most important thing in life. Because if it's tzadik b'emunasu yechya, it's living with the feeling that the Ribbono Shel Olam is with you all the time and that He has His hand on your shoulder, so then that's really going to guide you
through
life in a certain way. So maybe you want to talk a little bit, because we have such a wonderful audience, a group of different people reflecting different backgrounds and different ages. Some have parents, some have children, some have themselves. You know, different people have different stages in life where they're relating to emuna, and different people through different stages in their life. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that. Sometimes younger children have one perspective on emuna, teenagers, adolescents, older folks. How would you look at emuna at different ages?
So teens are very different than adults, and very different from middle-aged adults, and very different from elderly adults. Children's emuna is really taught by the kind of love that they are able to give to their children. A child will begin to have emuna not in God, but in my parents. If the parent is a healthy parent, if the parent is a safe parent, then that child will begin to trust. We do. When we've done damage to our children, then they're going to have trouble trusting God too. Even when they get up to the stage of being able to trust God, they won't be able to trust God, because God is a father figure. And if my father was a jerk, I apologize for that, but some words need to be said. If my father was mean, my father was hurtful, my father hurt my mother, if my father hurt my mother, then I'm not going to be able to trust my father. And how am I going to then get to the next level, which is the father of fathers? How am I going to get there? You know, how am I going to get there? So, have you seen people of different ages and relate to the emuna? Children's emuna is directly related to the loving relationship they have with their mother, and hopefully with their father as well. Mothers are easier. You know, that's my experience. But fathers are not that far behind if they're both safe and loving people. The importance of love to children to help build their emuna. And the beautiful thing is that the parallel is, we know that Hashem is referred to Hashem is our father in Shemayim. You know, he's the father. He's the father. And there's also indications that Hashem is feminine as well. So there are indications in different references in the Gemara and other places, whereas basically we could say Hashem is mommy, Hashem is daddy, Hashem is both, and that's reality. Hashem holds us. Hashem cries with us. That sounds maternal.
How about teenagers?
So it depends on the teenager. In my heyday of working with lots and lots of clients, I went through a period of probably 3 years in which I was exclusively working with kids that were angry teenagers, kids that we referred to then at the time as off the derech, not being on the road anymore. And I loved working with them because they were so real. They were so real. Basically, what I mean is that, you know, they didn't have a sensor inside of them. So if they were mad, they would just tell you to go to hell, or a lot worse. So I loved working with them because they were genuine. They were totally genuine. And there's something beautiful about the genuineness of a teenager. But teenagers are you know, what's the expression? There's a German expression for the angst of the teenager, of the preteen and then the teenager. And that angst is that I don't know who I am yet. I don't know who I am yet. So I'm too awkward. And so am I an adult or am I a child? And if my parents treat me like a child, I'm going to hate them because I'm just mad all the time. And to some degree, Chicago has become a softer place for that. At least I haven't seen that type of thing as much as I did, you know, 15, 20 years ago. But the idea of a child needing to feel safe and needing to feel like that I can make an impact, that I could be an adult, I could be not only that, a productive adult, an adult that is, you know, matters. But again, if the focus of today is all about emunah, then we always have to go back to that. What's my relationship today with Hashem? You know, what am I like when I pray? Are my prayers real? Are my brachos real? When I say, every time I say a bracha, to understand the power and the beauty that I could use Hashem's full name. The Yud and the Hey and the Vav and the Hey name, the Tetragrammaton. The four letter name of God. I know four letter doesn't sound like a good word, but this is a good one. Yud Kei Vav Kei. The name of Hashem.
So in the case of the teenagers, so how do you talk about emunah if you have an angry teenager, or the teenager is not interested in that relationship? How does a teenager forge a relationship if they're not?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's hard. It's hard, but I remember when I was working with teenagers like that, and I would say, and they would say, you know, F God, like that. It was so angry. And, you know, I came to realize over time that the overwhelming majority of those very angry boys or very angry girls, it's not just boys, it's girls too, but those very angry boys or very angry girls were often victims of abuse in some way. So we can't lose sight of that. If we're aware of abuse going on in the community in any way, we need to fight that and shout it from the rooftops. Because it does tremendous damage to a child for years and years and years and years, and some of them don't get past it. Some of them drop to Judaism because it's obviously, you know, I had a boy that for shock value, I taught in the academy for a bunch of years. How many of you have had kids or went to the academy? How many of you were students of mine? Just one?
No.
Oh, two.
I was there, but you taught boys.
I
was there, but you taught boys.
So I taught Ida Crown boys for 12 years, but I also there was a period there was a period of time where I was teaching, I taught one girls class. I taught a girls chumash class. I'll quickly tell you a funny story about that, because I was teaching girls chumash that year while I was teaching boys Talmud, you know, the Gemara, same thing. So, so one day I realized something, and I was teaching the girl, right, that's what it was. I was teaching girls chumash that year, and I had just got my degree in psychology, in clinical psychology, so the academy gave me a class to teach psychology to seniors in the afternoon. Okay? That's the background. So I'm trying to remember how, right. So one day I was teaching girls psychology, right? And I was also teaching some of the same girls chumash in the morning. I was teaching chumash in the morning, I was teaching them psychology, some of them the same girls in both. So I said, one day, you know, it hit me that the girls were different in the afternoon than they were in the morning. So I did my own little experiment. And, you know, and I confronted the class, the girls, these girls. There were probably 15 girls in my class. Were you in that class? Do you remember that? All right. So so there are 15 girls in that class. So I was just teaching the girls, you know, at that time. And I said, I need to talk to you guys. And they said, what? I said, why is it that when you're in my class for chumash, you guys are motivated, you're stimulated, you're on top of it, you're all getting hundreds in the test and this and that. And in the afternoon, you're a bunch of ditzes. Can you explain that to me? I want to understand this phenomena, is what I said. And they started laughing. And one girl raised her hand. I said, I really want to know what the answer to this thing is. And one girl raised her hand, and they said, boys don't like smart girls. So I said back, without skipping a beat, who needs boys like that? And they said back to me, without skipping a beat, those are the only boys there are. So, we're stuck, all right? Give us a break here. I have no idea what I was going with this, but I just...
Let's circle back to the Amuna with the teens.
Oh, Amuna and teens, all right. Well, I guess it fits because they're teens. All right, look at the Nifloas Abure. How do King want some...
We'll talk about that for a second now. Let's say a person, especially if they're going through a difficult time, or maybe even if they're not going through a difficult time, so they're not thinking about emunah, how do we develop our, you can call them the emunah muscles? You know, how do we cultivate that emunah within ourselves? What are some practical strategies?
About when you're going through something hard?
Either when you're going through something difficult, or when you're not thinking about it.
Right.
So, you know, you can imagine, perhaps you can, the analogy could be that emunah are like muscles. Let's say if you exercise them when you're healthy, so then when you need them, so you'll have a strong
right,
base.
So how could you prepare? Because no one, what's the expression? No one goes through life without, what's the expression? Are you familiar? It's in literature. What's the expression? What? Yeah, without obstacles, but there's something about poetry. All right, if it comes to me, I'll share it with you. Okay. Okay, so how could you cultivate emunah before you need it? Yes? How can you prepare for that? And you prepare for that, you know, your parents can help prepare their children through life by teaching them modani in the morning. Modani ulfanecha. It's right away. I'm getting first thing in the morning is I'm talking to Hashem. I'm talking to Hashem in the morning as soon as I get up. As soon as I wake, I start the day with Moda'ani. And to teach my children to say Moda'ani when we wake up. Meaning, say good morning to Hashem. Good morning, Hashem. How'd you sleep? Any bad dreams? Good morning. Say modani lufanecha. Say modani lufanecha with our children. Say brachos with our children. When they say a bracha together with you, and for a lot of the people in this room, or many of the people in this room, what I'm about to say is for your grandchildren. You know, you're watching your grandchildren, and they want to, you know, they want to eat something, and they take a bite, and you gently say, yeah, that's great. You know, did you like it? Did you enjoy it? And you say, yeah. And you say, okay, so let's make a bracha together so that it'll make Hashem happy too. Let's make a bracha together. And to teach our children young age that Hashem is real. We inculcate emuna in advance before they need it by being models of emuna, by living. Every time we say Baruch Hashem or Emitzer Hashem, those are words that many Orthodox people just have it in. It's just part of their automatic thing. Now, sometimes automatic things, you have no kavana, really. It's just, you know, it's just words, and you're not. It's, you know, it's not really moving you. But with just a little bit of forethought and a little bit of preparation, you can make it real.
What about somebody who didn't grow up with a model of emuna?
Right.
So how do you create opportunities to find emuna
right.
when you didn't necessarily have that in your own experience growing up?
Right. If you grew up in, let's say, in a non-observant home or something like that, right? So then how do you, you know, how and you want to grow yourself, can you do that? So you have to be very careful, and I've said this to, you know, a number of, you know, people that have become Bali Tshuva over the years. Be careful that you don't hurt your parents along the road. Don't, you know, and the Gemara is very clear, and many, many Torah sources very clear, that our first Hakaras HaTov in the human life, you know, there's God, but Hashem will take it easily, be very happy to take a back seat to us showing Hakaras HaTov and saying thank you to our parents. To our parents, to our older siblings, to our teachers, to our teachers. Yes.
What do you think about, you know, somebody will say, you know, I had a very strong emuna and it still didn't work out for me. Now, how does emuna
right.
fit with, you know, getting what we, quote unquote, what we hope
right.
to have in our lives?
So you're touching on the very, very difficult, complicated topic of tzaddik v'ra'lo. I'm doing, and life still stinks. I'm not getting a job, I got fired, my wife left me, my kids swear at me, or something like that. Now, that never happens if everything was really good. Okay, so that, on the other hand, you know, what do you do? What do you do? How do you teach emuna? How do you teach emuna in that kind of situation when you have angry people? And the answer is you know, I discussed this with one of my rabbis, one of my rabbeim, and he said, you could be a model for Hashem. It doesn't have to be God. It doesn't have to be Hashem. You could be whoever it is that's connected to this child, whether it's a parent or a teacher, or just an older friend, to be a model for this loving, understanding, non-judgmental, unconditional love-giving relationship with a Hashem-like figure, like someone that I look up to, someone that has more power than me, someone that will then appreciate me and will be able to build me, help build me.
But maybe it also goes back to something that you mentioned
yes,
earlier
please.
About, you know, Hashem holding your hand as you go through a difficult time. It doesn't necessarily mean, you're not saying that Hashem is going to do exactly what you say and what you want. You know, the emuna doesn't, you know, there are different, as we know, throughout the generations, there are different approaches to what emuna means. You know, there is one school of thought that if you have strong enough emuna, if you have enough emuna that you're going to win the lottery, then you will win the lottery. And the fact that you haven't won it yet is an indication that you have less than strong emuna. But the Chazon Ish was not in favor of that approach, and the Chazon Ish felt that emuna means more along the lines of what you alluded to earlier, that you have that sense of faith, that abiding faith that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you, holding your hand on the journey. Ultimately, there is some greater calculus where everything will be worked out mm-hmm. letov, but it doesn't necessarily mean, emuna doesn't mean if it's not going my way, I don't have enough emuna. You could still have emuna, even if it's not necessarily going the way that you want. It kind of goes back to the definition of emuna that you started with, perhaps.
Right. Good.
Any final thoughts? We'll open for questions.
I don't don't think anything more at this point. Questions?
Any
questions, comments?
Questions, comments, observations? Yeah, hi, Tamara.
You mentioned one way of strengthening that muscle of emuna starts with young children and making brachot with them and things like that. Mm-hmm. How does an adult do it?
So the question.
I'm not making brachot with me anymore. What's my.
You're the mom.
I am the mom.
No, I'm saying.
And I can do right. it for my children, but I. But, for me.
So the question
so
of
I'm telling you, you're your mom.
Oh.
You're the mom to you. You have to take yourself by the hand and exactly what you did with your own children, do with you. Do with you. Say moda ani. You know, talk to yourself in that way.
The question was
very powerful.
For those who didn't hear, I'll just repeat the question.
Sure.
The question was, what if if you're creating that emuna for someone else, how do you create it for yourself? And Dr. Loeb's suggestion is you be your own guide on the side. There is an interesting book that talks about looking at life from the balcony. I think his name is William Ury. Where he talks about looking down at yourself, getting yourself out of a conflict situation and looking
right.
down. So in a certain sense, it's about looking down from
taking
the balcony
yourself out of it, right.
to taking yourself out of it and saying, how can I set up my own emuna training program. Something that Dr. Loeb was alluding to a little bit ago was you didn't develop it so much as the idea of looking at the neflos habore,
yes.
and thinking about finding God in the world.
Right, right.
Other strategies.
Right.
Other questions? Yes.
It's not a question. It's something I went through in my life. All my life. It's safe because of the emuna. All my life. Critical times, and I'm born in Romania, then Russian invaders, it was a horrible time. My son was just 18 days old, and Russia put us in an animal wagon and sent us to Siberia, because they were thinking like everybody was rich in Romania, so they should pay in Siberia now. And just emuna saved my life, made me come to America, saved my children, and the children saved me when they went out. My son says, Mama, I'm taking you out from that country. I'll take you to America. I say, you want to start again? That's to be sent to Siberia? I don't want any more Siberia. He says, no, Mom. Have emuna. We'll go to America. We'll be saved, and I'll give you the freedom. You didn't have freedom in your life. And this is how it was happened.
What years were you in Romania?
I was born in Romania. When I was 12 years old, started the war. And the war broke our life. My two brothers were killed at the front. My mother and my father then depressed.
This is the Holocaust, or was it something else?
It was
pre-Holocaust.
This was,
mm-hmm.
It was, I could say, like, I went through my life. I got a lot of times, but just emuna saved my life. I was believing all the time.
I want you to picture the following image. That one day after 120, like 30 years from now or 40 years from now, okay? When you get up to heaven, you're going to get a standing ovation. Do you understand that? In fact, I'll do it right now.
I want to take this opportunity to thank everyone for joining us, to thank Dr. Loeb, to thank our amazing office staff, Rabbi Frank Keller was floating around those who saw him.
Yes,
Mrs. Dina Holkauer, who was welcoming. Thank you again to Eileen for hosting. And maybe one reflection, one piece of this is just to recognize that the first step in building our emuna muscle, so to speak, is having a conversation about emuna. Mm-hmm. And recognizing that it's something that we need to talk about and we need to focus on whatever stage in life we are. And so it's a great honor and a privilege to have shared this evening. We thank the Kollel, we thank all of you, and we look forward to gathering together for future evenings of growth, of inspiration, of emuna, in good health, Ad Me'ev Esrim. We're going to daven Marav, the men will be joining us.